The New Spins Library.
Here we are at the New Spins Library.
Hey, Montreal, it's a great day out there. Welcome to the New Spins Library on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a full show for you today with three pre-recorded interviews. One is in arts and culture, and two are from the music spot. The first interview is with Louise Flaherty of the NFB documentary, Arctic Song. An Inuit creation story, Arctic Song is still on festival tour and will be available for viewing soon on the NFB website. Watch for it. The second interview we're bringing back from earlier last year. This interview is with Toronto Beaches musician Kevin California. Kevin will be speaking about his music. The third interview is with Amanda Kind, country singer. This songwriter-composer can really belt out the country tunes. Well worth a listen. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings weather, and after some music, we'll visit the podcast called In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, where this week's question is, what is an Adam's apple? After some more music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with Jen's New Spins Library song and head into the interviews. The short film Arctic Song expresses Inuit creation stories from the Iglulik region of Nunavut through song and animation based on the original artwork of Inuit artist, storyteller, and co-director Germaine Anaktaoyo. The film has been selected by several Canadian festivals across the country, from north to south and east to west, and won awards such as the Best Canadian Short Film at the International First Peoples Festival in Montreal. In this 6-minute short, Inuit artist, storyteller, and co-director Germaine Anaktaoyo depicts Inuit creation stories in all their glory. Arctic Song tells stories of how the land, sea, and sky came to be in beautifully rendered animation. Telling traditional Inuit tales from the Iglulik region of Nunavut through song, the film revitalizes ancient knowledge and shares it with future generations. With us today, we have Louise Flaherty. Hi, Louise, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sheila.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came involved with the cast and crew of Arctic Song.
I am from the Taku Productions, and there are three of us partners in this film company. And Neil, Christopher, and I, with his brother Danny, are partners. But Neil and I have always been so enthralled by Germaine Anaktaoyo's artwork. We just love her artwork because they are, most of them are coming from Inuit original folklore. And I think that's how our fascination with her work and that close relationship with Germaine brought us into the idea of creating Arctic Song. That's how the film creation started, and with excitement because the film is a creation, Inuit creation story.
Who was involved in the making of Arctic Song, and what did everyone do?
We brought in Jermaine Anlaktayuk to our Iqaluit office, as well as into our Toronto office to work on animation, because she's never worked on animation before, but we partnered her up with animators to create this short film. So Jermaine is an amazing and very patient visual artist. She takes care in sharing and representing our Inuit culture through her artwork. So the singer-songwriter that we worked with telling the story is Selena Kaluk. And Selena hails from a small town in one of our high Arctic communities of Resolute Bay.
What is the story you were trying to tell in Arctic Song?
The Arctic Song is a creation story, and we have a lot of creation stories of how the world began, how animals began, and so on. So in the introduction of the Arctic Song, everything was black, and in our culture, there was no light. And so these hunters would hunt with their forefinger being lit with a little flame. And so you can see these hunters walking around in the introduction of the film.
How did their fingers get flames on them, Louise?
That will have to come from the other stories, because this one leads to another story of how day and night became, which is through the communication of the raven and the hare. One of them likes hiding in the dark, and the other likes the light. And so Ulluk is day, Unnuk is night. And you can hear the two animals trying to come up to a consensus of how they can compromise by having day and having night. I mean, there's a bunch of creation stories in the film, and one of them is also about the first death. And so that is from an island that is inhabited by Inuit. It becomes too full and it capsizes. And so that's the first death. So there are creation stories in these. And I feel we've always had these stories from time immemorial, but not everyone is exposed to original oral stories that are grandparents were exposed to. And so by creating film from artwork, we wanted to share these stories with the children as well as with the world. Inuit have a lot of stories, and a lot of the stories that were passed down for generations were oral stories. So not until recently did we start documenting these stories through book, but also we have done some few film projects on these stories. And Arctic Song is one, which are stories of creation. So first light, first day and night, what else is in there? The giants walking, told in a way through art, through animation.
What inspired you to write and animate Arctic Song?
Traditionally, our ancestors, our grandparents, maybe some of our parents now, heard these stories in intimate settings with their families. And nowadays, with so much distraction, so much new media, that a lot of the stories are not heard from elders anymore. So we try to keep telling these stories by interviewing elders, by interviewing people, and also getting in contact with people that know these stories firsthand from stories that were shared to them by their parents. And Jermaine Anlaktayuk, through her artwork has always shared some of these stories. And I'm a huge fan of Jermaine Anlaktayuk. She's a wonderful artist. She tells these stories through beautiful artwork, through a lot of patience. I've seen her work in her studio as well as here. She takes great care and time in making sure that our culture is represented well, and she does it very well. And we wanted to share these artwork with the stories behind them through the film.
What made you pick the National Film Board of Canada to produce Arctic Song?
We work with various entities to, if there's support that they are giving us. And now we've been working with National Film Board on other projects in the past. If you remember years ago, I believe there was filming in the 1960s of traditional Inuit culture and what it was like through the Natsilik series. So I know that National Film Board has worked with Inuit on various projects, and it is always exciting to work with National Film Board, sharing our stories so that Canada and the rest of the world can view our stories through our productions.
When will Arctic Song be available to listeners to view on the NFP website?
I'm not sure about that one, but when films are touring in festivals, it takes a while for them to become accessible until that tour is done. So I believe it's still touring.
So we will have to look for that on the NFP website, which is a wonderful place to spend part of a day anyway. Which awards has Arctic Song been put up for or won?
The one in Montreal for the Children's Choice Award, that one. But because we are so busy, we don't do it for accolades. But when they do win, it's always exciting.
When and where will we be able to view Arctic Song?
As far as I know, Arctic Song is still touring. We still have other projects that we have been working on, Tucker Productions, and I am not going to release them yet, but I can say that we have been working on other projects as well. The more Canadian children, even anyone that is interested in finding out about our oral traditions coming from Inuit storytellers through our work, it is always very exciting. So it's always a joy to share this knowledge, because as Inuit children, my generation especially, we learned about, a lot of us learned about nursery rhymes and Hansel and Gretel, the Grimm stories. So it's always exciting to share these stories with the rest of the world, because each culture, I'm sure, has their own folklore. But Arctic Song is an introduction, a short introduction into the greater stories behind them. So it's exciting.
If our listeners want more information, where should they go?
You can go to takut.ca, Takut Productions, T-A-Q-Q-U-T, to see what's going on, what's coming out. There's always new information on that website.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you, Sheila, for contacting me.
You have been listening to Louise Flaherty speaking about Arctic Song, her animation from the National Film Board of Canada. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
There's a lot going on in the world today. See how it affects Montreal's Black and Caribbean community. Read the community contact. News, features, opinions, music reviews, cultural events, and so much more. Our voices, our perspectives, our community. Published every 2 weeks, pick it up at your favorite community spot or visit us online at our new and dynamic website, mtlcommunitycontact.com. Easy to navigate and lots to enjoy. Archived issues also on the site and available on the web. That's mtlcommunitycontact.com. Stay in contact.
Kevin California is defined by his self-given surname, a title meant to elicit and evoke the positive warmth of the West Coast. This Toronto-based Canadian singer-songwriter, producer, pours his soul into his music, giving voice to an oftentimes neglected universal truth. And indeed, it goes part and parcel with the fabled California dream, a belief Kevin fully adheres to, hoping to inspire his listeners to follow their dreams, no matter what their location. With us today, we have Kevin California. Hi, Kevin, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be a musician.
I started when I was pretty young, around the age of 10 or so. I was given a keyboard by my parents, but I didn't think that was cool enough, so I wanted an electric guitar. So I got that, you know, tried to make as much noise as I could as I entered my teenage years with my instrument. So I did like conservatory lessons just a little bit, but I really just kind of wanted to learn rock and roll songs. So I went into that, learning a lot just from like magazines, from guitar tablature, things like that. Yeah, and then I started a band when I was in high school. I recorded my first album with that band when I was around 16 or 17 years old. Then I continued to go down the scholastic path, not so much as music, but in another field. But music always had its claws in me. I could never get free from it. And I'm grateful for that because it's been a part of me, and it always will be a part of me. As far as becoming a musician, it was something that I've done most of my life, and I've always dabbled in other careers and other jobs and professions, but the only one consistent thing that I can see in my history is music, and that's the one thing that I really hold on to. And I find that I know it's not good to define yourself by what you do, but it really definitely is a part of, I think, what I can offer the world.
Playing with Kevin California is like making a fine meal, right down to the details of equipment and position in the show. Who have you played with producing the Timeless EP and video?
In Montreal, shortly before I record the Timeless EP, I was doing a residency for about 6 months at the Depenaire Cafe in the Mile End. And so I came across a lot of great musicians that were playing, pianists, viola players, guitar players, other singer-songwriters, other lyricists. And so I kind of networked while I was there. During my residency, watching acts before and after me, I just asked some of them to come and play. Oh yeah, also a great vocalist, Sarah Cochran, who did a lot of the background vocals on the EP, Timeless. And I asked them if they wanted to be part of this project. I had some songs written, and I had set up a studio close to that area, worked with some local engineers that helped me record it, and that's who I played with for the video. I mean, for the EP, and then the video for Timeless, I didn't actually get to until I moved to the beaches in Toronto. I met somebody who was really good with the drone, and so we decided to do one video, Love in the Sand. It was a lyric video where we wrote the lyrics down in the sand on the beach. And then that was a pretty good success. I had somebody edit it in LA, somebody who I worked with before on previous videos. But that videographer who did the drone footage, I thought he was really good, Sam Hirsch. And so I asked him if he would do the Timeless video. And so we did that out by, what's that area? The Bluffs. Yeah, Scarborough Bluffs. So I found that area, and I was like, this is a beautiful location. I want to shoot this video. It makes me think of nothing when I'm there. Like, it has no time. And that was the essence I wanted to capture in the video.
In 2020, you produced the Timeless EP. What were your goals for the project then? And what do you still have to realize today?
In 2020, that was when I released the album. It was obviously a strange year to release an album with the pandemic. I had been sitting on it for such a long time. I had actually started writing a lot of the songs when I was in Los Angeles, where I lived before Montreal. Then I finished writing the songs in Montreal, and I started recording them in Montreal. So for that project, you know, I wanted to make sure it captured this idea of spacelessness, timelessness, being in multiple locations, living in different places. It had a really profound effect on me, changing those locations. Musicians are typically known for not really staying in one spot for too long at a time. I seem to embody that with how I've been living recently. I'm grateful for all the things that I've learned along the way. And I just wanted to capture in that project. Yeah. I mean, some of the things I want to realize is what is it? I want to make sure I have the essence of the environment I live in on every recording I do. Mm-hmm. So my first EP was recorded in LA, second one was recorded in Montreal. I think I'm going to record my next album here in Toronto. I think that our environments shape us. And so, you know, one of my goals is to try to have listeners hear what it's like, hear what each environment has to say. Yeah, and hopefully they can grasp that through the music that I write and record.
Where was the Timeless video produced, and what was the process you went through making it?
Yeah, so it was produced here in the Beaches. I mentioned a little bit of it earlier of how I had worked with a videographer who was quite skilled with a drone. And so we decided to get some footage. Part of the idea behind Kevin California and the name is that obviously it's a state, California. And so part of my videos have been kind of down to earth, outside footage. That's kind of the theme that seems to be associated with them all. And I don't know if that might change with some of the videos I do in the future. They probably will, actually. But for now, I knew I wanted to stick with that theme a little bit. Outdoors, outside, the land, nature. That's how I ended up doing that video. I actually worked with a really good post-production company also, I wanted to mention, in Toronto, who did some of the coloring on the video. So people don't realize that there's a lot of post-production that happens in media. Some of the really cool, like vibrant colors that you see in that Timeless video is from post-production color adjustments and things like that.
Maybe listen to some of your music?
Sure.
This is Timeless on the New Spins Library.
But the stillness of the mind, and love is the part where you fall apart and realize there is no time. Love is the part where you fall apart and realize there is no time. No time. 'Cause you make things timeless all the time. Yeah, 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 yeah. You make things timeless all the time. You make things timeless all the time. Yeah, 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 yeah. You make things timeless all the time.
Where did you first start making music, and how did you become Kevin California?
I knew I was still kind of, I knew I was really passionate about music. So I went traveling to kind of New Zealand and Australia and Southeast Asia and worked there. And I remember picking up a scale book for guitar, and I would just sit in my traveling van and just learn those scales over and over and over again. And I didn't really understand the theory, but I figured that if I work the scales with my fingers over and over, you know, help me in my future musical creations. After that, came back to Ontario for a bit. Then I moved to British Columbia and started a improvisational jazz rock reggae kind of band with some people out there. Two of the members were from Quebec. I guess that's part of the reason why maybe I found myself back in Montreal. I knew I had a bit of a network there. So I played with them for a bit, and I started getting hired to host open mics, and I wasn't even trying so much. And we were getting gigs to play our improvisational jam band in bars. And I said, wow, what if I really just push myself into the profession of music like I haven't done before? What could happen? You know, so then I decided to move to Los Angeles, and I studied independent music production there at UCLA Extension. And that really opened up my eyes to the profession of music, because it's a massive industry there. And I learned a little bit more of the production, the recording, and also the business of music. Yeah, that's, and so when I went down there, that was when I started my solo career. I found that it was a bit challenging for me to have a band, because I was always so intense about music and like going the full, you know, right to as far as I could go. I saw a Beatles documentary recently, and what were they saying? They're like in a hotel when they were just doing little club dates that they were booking themselves, and they would get discouraged sometimes, and they would say, oh, you know, somebody would get upset, Ringo or whatever, and it'd be like, well, where are we going? And then the other guy, other Beatle, would say, we're going right to the top, you know? Mm-hmm. And so those four members, they all had the same idea of pushing themselves musically to the top. And for me, you know, it's not about going to the top as far as I can go, do a personal best with music professionally. And so I found that being a solo artist was the best way to do that and kind of take control of what I was interested in doing and how far I wanted to go. So that's how I came up with Kevin California when I moved to Los Angeles.
May we hear some more of your music?
Of course. Yeah.
This is Currency on CKUT.
Time is a currency. Spend yours wisely. so much more.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music or event tickets, where should they go?
You can go to kevincalifornia.com. There you'll be able to find, you know, links to listening platforms. You can buy my album through other music services. You can watch all my videos, read bios. You can get connected on social media through the links on that website. So kevincalifornia.com is probably the best way to get connected to my music or to me.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you so much, Sheila.
You have been listening to Kevin California speaking about his music and career. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando.
CKUT, where the new spins be. Liberate, we probably the true meaning of libraries. The world awesome station for the community that news, arts, and culture shape our intellectuality. Releasing these new spins, sharing these bright grins. Wednesday morning, 7 to 9 on 90.3 is where it's happening. Tune in, the tunes are in tune, and with some interviewing, the new spins library Wednesday, 7 a.m. is broadcast. The new spins library. The new spins library. The new spins library. The new spins.
We live in an online age of instant gratification, and it's becoming increasingly harder to stop ourselves from rushing into things. Amanda Kind's newest single, Slow Dance, is about taking your time, falling in love, and cherishing the little moments that make building a life with someone so special. It's a song for people who crave that old school romance. With us today, we have Amanda Kind. Hi, Amanda, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you became a musician.
Well, my name's Amanda Kind, and I'm a singer and songwriter, and I'm also a voice teacher. So that's another way that I'm in the arts world. I grew up in a Mennonite household in British Columbia, where my mom was a really terrific piano player and singer. And most of my family plays instruments and sings in harmony. So in our household, Christmas carols were sung in four-part harmony, and that just music was always a huge part of my childhood and something that really brought me a lot of joy. And so my entire life, it feels like I've always been singing. I remember singing soprano with my aunt beside my mom while she was playing and singing alto, and my uncles would be playing guitar. And so I started out actually in classical music, singing Mozart and opera and stuff like that. I went to university for classical music and ended up realizing that that really wasn't the right style for me. I've always been kind of a fan of popular music. And in my teenage years, I loved things like the Spice Girls and Shania Twain and Dolly Parton, but even stuff as far back as the Andrews Sisters or Ella Fitzgerald or Barbra Streisand, all those big voices, Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. And I would just lay in my bed and mimic those things after school. And eventually I began kind of writing songs very slowly. And, you know, in the beginning, you always write pretty terrible songs in order to get good songs. And so as I grew up, I just began performing and singing in all different genres. And somehow here I am, I've ended up in country. And I think that's because there's such an incredible marriage of story and melody in country. And I'm such a theater fan that I think people would be surprised to know, but I think theater and country are very close because there's just such an emphasis on the story of the music.
What happened to you as a teenager and a young adult that influenced your music and inspired you to become the musician you are today?
I think for me, it was just listening to many different kinds of music and always loving to sing and playing piano for hours and hours at home. And also just going to a lot of concerts. I was a teenager, you know, in the 90s before cell phones. And we used to hang out with our friends by going to the concert halls on Friday and Saturday nights and seeing bands. And I remember, you know, just imagining myself up there and wanting to sing. And then just all the relationships that you go through as a teenager, you end up needing to express yourself in some way. And for me, that was always music.
The pandemic was full of big lessons for you. What was your experience then? And what were the lessons you learned?
Well, the pandemic was actually pretty life-changing for me. I had been teaching voice for a number of years, but I hadn't really been singing personally for a number of years. My life had sort of been consumed by supporting other artists, which I still love to do so much. As soon as the world kind of stopped and people were not out there gigging and we all had kind of time to breathe a little bit, I began really understanding how much I missed making music. And so it was during the pandemic that I began getting involved with online Zoom songwriting. And before I knew it, I was recording a track with country artist James Downham. We have this duet called We're Okay. And before I knew it again, it was picked up on country radio. And it was a really exciting process to watch. And so as soon as We're Okay kind of was out there, I began to think about writing stuff for myself personally again. And then I started working with my producer, Matt Cable. It just kind of snowballed from there. And I'm lucky to say that, you know, Love Used to Live Here was really well received last July. And here I am now putting out Slow Dance. And I have three more songs coming out this year. So I feel like that moment of pause that everybody had really helped me shift my perspective and put some more focus on trying to make music for myself, which is something I deeply missed.
You have a new single and video known as Slow Dance. What is the process you went through producing this song?
This was a special song for me. I had this idea for Slow Dance as a metaphor for taking it slow, partially because me and a lot of my friends have been online dating for a while, and it seems like everybody wants to rush into everything. And so many of us were kind of lamenting that old school dating scene where you take time to get to know someone. And so when I met Matt Cable and David Madras, who both co-wrote the song with me, I had written a different song with them previously, and I really loved their energy, and we got along so well. And so I knew this idea was special to me, and I wanted to make sure that I wrote it with someone who would kind of take care of it in the same way that I wanted to. And we got together one night on Zoom, and it just poured out of us in about 2.5 hours. It was a really quick write. And I wanted it to have that energy of like a Patsy Cline song or an old standard, like an Etta James song. I love the song At Last by Etta James. And so that was the energy that inspired it. And we made sure that the instrumentation on it was big and sweeping, and the melody is big and sweeping. the song is really about just, again, like you said, breathing in those moments, taking it slow with someone, really getting to know them and falling in love in a really old-fashioned kind of way, which we hope becomes back in fashion. And then the music video part of things, I really wanted something that was funny and light because the song is kind of sweeping and serious in ways. And so it's the video is kind of a light homage to, you know, those old school romantic comedies. There are lots of silly moments. There's a flower fight. There's a like a kind of a hint at risky business. There's the stereo over the head, like the movie Say Anything with John Cusack. So if people love those old fashioned romantic comedies, I think they'll get a kick out of the music video.
May we hear some of your music?
Yeah, great. Please play it.
This is Slow Dance on the New Spins Library.
I've done the kind of love where you burn out, mess each other up and get a rundown. But being with you feels so old school. Let's try not to rush in like fools. I want a slow dance. Talk all night, watch the sky. We can just hold hands. Throw it back, give me that record store romance. With no plans and nowhere to be. Come on and slow. Hang out, pour a glass of Cabernet and let you spin me round. There's something so sweet about those old melodies. So honey, pull me close and find.
Which musicians and musical groups did you like on your way to your professional career?
So many. I think one of the reasons I've recorded music in many genres is because I have such an eclectic ear. My mom really exposed us to many different types of music growing up, everything from Paul Simon and Queen and Bon Jovi to things like Mozart operas and Gilbert and Sullivan and musical theater. And when I was growing up, you know, a lot of grunge music was popular. So Alanis Morissette, Green Day, Weezer, And all that 90s country that we all love. So early Garth Brooks and Shania Twain and Dolly Parton and Reba McEntire. Yeah. I'm just saying that those, you know, 90s country stars, people like Garth Brooks and Shania Twain and Reba McEntire and Martina McBride, all those big sweeping voices inspired me and made me want to create music, particularly in the country genre.
May we listen to some more of your music?
Yeah, it'd be great. I would love it if you'd play Love Used to Live Here.
That's what we will do. We'll play Love Used to Live Here on CKUT. If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, concert tickets, or merch, where should they go?
I have a website, so amandakind.com, or they can find me on Instagram. I have a little cute handle called Miss A Kind on Instagram. They can find me there.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thanks so much for having me.
You've been listening to Amanda Kind speaking about her music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Hi, I'm JP Mortier, and you are listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT. Thank you.
like yellow stars align. We roll and play, fall in love in many ways, and this feels so real. I'm glad love is based on what I feel. I roar so loud that neighbors can hear, then crawl around and rub against your ear. We roll and play, fall in love in many ways, and this feels so real. I'm glad love's based on what I feel. Lying in your bed. Lying in your bed. Lying in your bed. The golden queen of my pride, I'll always fight to keep you by my side. We roll and play, fall in love in many ways, and this feels so real.
d'argent. Je te donne tout, tu prends, mais c'est pas suffisant. Mon corps, j'ai sacrifié. Ma vie, je t'ai dédié. Pour toi, j'ai tout quitté. Et pourtant, je ne sais pas faire autrement. C'est dans mes veines, c'est dans mon sang. Vais-je donc souffrir d'aimer autant? Tout donner jusqu'à s'en oublier, tout donner jusqu'à couler. Tout donner jusqu'à s'en oublier, tout donner jusqu'à couler. Tout donner jusqu'à s'en oublier, tout donner jusqu'à couler. Tout donner jusqu'à s'en oublier, tout donner jusqu'à crever.
Didn't come into the office today?
No, she's got a fever.
Aww, that's so thoughtful.
A woman of principle.
She even wears a mask to the mall and washes her hands for like 20 seconds.
Ugh, some people are just too perfect.
And when she has a sore throat, cough, or runny nose, she wears a mask too.
Aww. I can't believe it.
Talk about considerate.
I'm touched.
She can have my office chair.
She can have my office.
For everyone's good, let's adopt proper habits against the viruses. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I think you're all aware that the whole planet is really going through, you know, a great deal of turmoil, you know, man-made or not. And everybody's dealing with their lot. And for now, this is, it seems, what we have to deal with. But to your point, three floods in 10 days or a week is, it's a bit too much.
The death toll from 2 weeks of flooding in California has reached at least 20, as climate scientists are predicting more extreme weather linked to climate change over the next 2 years. Outrage is growing over how fossil fuel companies were fully aware of the link between fossil fuel emissions and global warming, but spent decades obscuring the science in order to make maximum profit. We'll speak with California Congressmember Ro Khanna, who recently concluded a congressional investigation into the allegations.
As early as the 1970s,